Hey, welcome to Live Signing with me, Dan Bongino. I hope you know me because then you're here for the wrong. That'd be kind of weird if I was like, hey, this is Adam Carolla here for the Dan Bongino book signing. Here to promote my new book. You're probably here to see the lovely Paula, too. She should write her own book. But the book's actually dedicated to her. It's called The Gift of Failure because she's one of the few things, as you can tell, I did not fail at. But I really enjoyed writing this book. I'm going to sign some for you here today. I just got done signing about 750 copies, so it's kind of a limited run. So if you want one, pick one up. They're actual books. There's not a plate or any of these are the books I'm signing right here. Paula's going to ask a couple of questions that were submitted by supporters and fans. I'll answer some of them. Are we comparing answers, too? I'm a little nervous about that. What if I...
That was going to be a surprise.
Okay, because what if I screw up? If I screw up the answer, we're deleting this. We're just like, I'm pulling this off the internet. I'm going to put you some clout to make this thing go away. But pick up the book if you want. I loved writing this book. It's the first book I wrote that was more about personal stories. And one of the reasons I wrote the book is we were doing a... Rumble had gone public. It wasn't really doing anything. We just showed up. But Rumble had gone public, which, as you know, is a video platform alternative to YouTube, this free speech platform. And we're walking back from this thing in the NASDAQ, and it's amazing. This is amazing day. It was raining, though. I know you remember that. Mm-hmm. We're in Times Square.
It's cold. So
we're back in Times Square. It was rainy. It was cold. But, you know, rain's kind of good luck. And it was funny because a bunch of my haters, and I got a lot of haters, people really can't stand me, which I get. Sometimes I can't stand me either, so I totally understand that. But we're coming back and people are like, man, this Dan Bongino, what a piece of garbage, whatever these liberals are saying, what a failure. And I looked at Paula and I said, failure? I said, we just launched a $1 billion company, an alternative to YouTube for the first time, like a real free speech company went public. I said, that's failure. Bring on the failure. Like, I want some more of that failure. It was great. So that's where the book started. And I tell that story in the first chapter, our battle with YouTube, when they banned me for saying masks don't work, which is freaking hilarious now because they don't. And them banning me was probably the single dumbest business decision of their life because I was a really huge creator over there. And I went out and, you know, with Chris, the CEO of Rumble, we blew that up. But it's not just stories about that and the parallel economy. There's stories in there about my time as a Secret Service agent, you know, failures, big failures, small failures. But the message of the book, of course, is the gift of failure, not like failure is awesome. Failure can be a gift, but only if you look at it through the right lens. And I think one of the messages you'll see in the book where I tell all these stories, little failures and big failures, is if you see it as a permanent obstacle and you paint yourself as a victim, you're kind of effed. Like, you're screwed. Like, you're just never going to get off the mat. And I'm not going to tell you, you know, when I failed, like, I write the story about me trying to get into medical school in a book. I studied for a year and busted my ass. And you know what happened? Nothing. Did I get in?
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
Right.
I did not get in. And did anybody cry for me?
Maybe me.
Okay, the answer, yeah, maybe. Did anyone else cry for me?
No, they didn't.
Okay, thank you very much. Of course, she cries for me because she loves me. I love you, too. I would have cried for you, too.
Yeah.
But no one else did because nobody cares. Nobody gives a shit. Nobody cares. You know why they don't care? Because they got their own shit going on. So you know what I did? I got up, dusted off, and went to freaking business school. And it was great. I had a good time. Gift. The failure was a gift. I didn't even know it at the time. Like, where'd we find this guy? I just met these people there. They're wonderful. So I tell some stories about that. I tell some funny Secret Service stories, too, and had some small things. You know, some of them are just kind of like thrown in a book because they're funny stories, and I really thought they'd be interesting to you. Like, how there's this myth out there in the public, and you know, us in the Secret Service, like these big, like, you know, steely iron guys with these glasses and all that stuff. We screw up stuff like everyone else. We were up by Camp David one time, and I was with my friend. I forget what I call him in the book. I don't use his real name. Call him Terry or whatever. It doesn't matter. And we had to go fill up the limos, the armored limos. They were, you know, big trucks, but they got to get gas like anything else. So, you know, friends of mine be like, where do you gas them up? I'm like, the gas station. Like, you take off. Yeah, what do you think? We have a gas truck? We go to the gas station like anyone else. So we go to the gas station. I'm with this guy. I call him Terry. And he drives away. We fill up both cars. And I'm driving. I'm looking at the car. I'm like, why does that car have a tail? Like, that's weird. It's like, you know, look like a mouse or something. He took the gas pump with him. He never took the gas pump out of the car. The poor gas station owner. So I kind of like, I was like, all right, there's not really a big message in that story, other than I thought it was freaking hilarious, so I throw it in the book. But there are some big failures in there. You know, like when I tried to get into one of these specific details and it didn't work out, but eventually turned out again, because I kept a really positive attitude, turned out to be a gift. I tried to get on the first lady's detail, which is where all like the, you know, I guess kind of the guys who were the management really loved went. And they said no, because some stuff had happened, which you can read about. But I wound up in the transportation section instead that does motorcades. It was the best thing that ever happened to me, because it's really difficult and it's a lot of logistics. And I tell that story in the book. And then I even tell some stuff from when I'm a kid. So I think you'll enjoy it. So you have some questions for me?
I do. It was a great book. I enjoyed reading it, too. There were some stories in there I've never heard.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you heard them now. Did you like the audiobook too?
I didn't listen to it.
And then you should have, because I improv, and you're in there. You? Yeah, I told stories about it. Yeah.
You know, I just read a comment on Amazon.
Sorry, it's date night tonight, so, you know. Listen, 20 years. This lady still drives me crazy.
But you did.
What did we get into? What kind of show is this?
No, seriously, you had some good stories in there I'd never heard, and some that just brought some really sad memories, and
I know,
made me cry while I was reading.
Yeah, folks, I'm not messing with you. There's like some real, like, we really screwed up a lot of stuff.
Right.
Like, I bared my soul in the book. I didn't hide anything. Don't think like this successful radio host thing happened overnight. It's like luck more than anything. No.
All right, so I do have some fan questions here. So here's the first one. Tim from Indiana. What or who inspired you to write this book?
What or who inspired? Well, I guess the Rumble story that night when we were leaving and walking out of there. But, you know, we had always talked, you and I, about doing like one kind of final book. And I think I wanted to leave something to my kids. You know, I wanted my kids to understand. So they could be like the real inspiration outside of that one Rumble event. I wanted them to, you know, they're going to have stumbles too. And, you know, they only knew me when we were relatively successful. And I didn't want them to think like you and I had this linear path. So
I have a special question for you. This is from Isabel. Isabel, she's 20 now.
That's
and
my daughter.
She got to experience life when you were in the Secret Service.
Yeah.
So she wanted to know, what made you want to leave the Secret Service and pursue politics despite the risk?
Man, Obama, I mean, that's just the hard truth. I mean, you know, you lived through it with me. I was like, I can't believe that this is where, you know, I heard what these guys were talking about. I mean, you're there. It wasn't like anything crazy, but you're with this every day. You're not up in his face all the time, but staffers, and you're on the road with them. And I'd never heard so many crazy ideas. And I mean, you remember the night with the Jerry Walker email when he was, remember?
Yeah.
So he loses to John McCain, and the night McCain concedes, it was the same election night. I said to Paula, I'm like, we're going to be in deep trouble here, man, with this guy. I knew the guys had been like, this guy's no good. I knew it. I knew he was going to be bad, so I had to leave and get out. And
so he didn't just say to me, hey, Paul, I want to quit my job and run for a town mayor. He's like, hey, Paul, I'm going to quit and run for the U.S. Senate.
If you're going to go, go big, daddy-o. Don't go. That was it.
Right.
But I won the primary. Did
you
I
did.
Not?
You did.
I did. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. No one told me there's no way. They said, you don't know anyone. You have no money. You will never win a primary as a first-time candidate for the United States Senate with 10 other people. I said, why? Is it hard? It was kind of like Legally Blonde. Remember Legally Blonde?
It really was like, that kind of moment.
That was
really,
that kind
it was.
Right, it was, right? And she's like, oh, you got into Harvard? She goes, why? Is it hard? I said, like, why? Is that hard? And we won. We didn't win by much, but we won.
All right. Catherine from Kentucky. How did you come up with the title of this book?
That was my idea. That was my, remember, nobody liked the title, but I loved it. I thought it was the greatest, because it has been a gift. I think of, there is not a single success I've had in my life. Forget about personal relationships, obviously. Well, who knows? Maybe, I mean, I screwed up with a lot of ladies before I met. So maybe there was a gift there too.
Total gift.
Yeah, I know. You maybe rescued me from that craziness too. But everything I got in my life, jobs, opportunities, was always, every single one was born from some ridiculously bad failure first. It was the craziest thing. And we always just like dusted off and figured out some new path that was better than the thing we failed at. So that's what, can I have some of your watermelon?
Sure, sir.
Thank you. What else you got for me?
All right, so Gregory wants to know, are there certain failures that can't be redeemed?
Well, yeah, there's like death. Like if you fail at life and you're dead, you're kind of fucked. Like that's why I say don't get dead. So that's kind of, but other than that.
Should have worn the shirt, yes.
I should have worn the don't get dead shirt.
We should have. What were we thinking?
Yeah. No, but yeah, failing at life and getting dead, not a good idea. But no, I don't think there are. I think there are really catastrophic things that happen to people. Bankruptcies, deaths in the family. Where, you know, you read a story, like, forget about people's politics for a minute. You read a story about, like, Ben Carson or Colin Powell, right? Guys who did not grow up with silver spoons. Again, forget the politics. It doesn't even matter. Just throw it out, because then people get, like, you know, you get in this box and that box. Regardless of, they've led relatively successful lives. I mean, Ben Carson is one of the most prominent neurosurgeons in the world. The guy had no opportunity whatsoever growing up. None. Zero. He didn't have a silver spoon. He had like a lead spoon. Like that was it. And so, no, I don't think, other than dying, that there's things you can't overcome. I don't think that at all.
Chad from California wants to know, what was your time like as a Secret Service agent?
Man, the Secret Service was crazy. It was like the closest thing to being famous without anybody knowing who you are. Like you're around the world in these private jets. That's essentially what they are. Air Force One, what did we call them? One, the DHS. Oh, Coast Guard One, with the DHS Secretary travels on this Coast Guard plane. But they're all like nice planes. You're at these high-end parties, but you're like a fly on the wall doing this stuff. And for a young kid like me, who's, you know, mom worked the checkout counter in the supermarket and whose dad was a plumber, you know, I was in my early 20s. You're running around the world. I mean, I think I was like 25 or so when I took my first trip to Moscow. Like Moscow, that my first trip in New York was to New Jersey when I was like 18. Like I never left New York ever. So I recommend the job highly for anyone who wants to get into law enforcement. You may not stay there forever, but those 10 plus years there were really transformative. And some of the best people I ever met, amazing people.
JT asks, what has been a pinch me moment or highlight in your career?
Pinch me moment. The Reagan's funeral. I love Ronald Reagan. He was just like the Gipper man and just like totally reset conservatism. I mean, you talk about a landslide. Guy in 1984 won 49 states. Who the hell? That's not even possible. He won four, and the state he lost was Minnesota to Mondale, who was from Minnesota. And he even lost that state only by 3,000 votes. So I love Reagan. So when I was in the training center as an instructor, they needed post-standers for his funeral. And I just like raised my hand right away. And, you know, that kind of, I know it sounds crazy, but that I just felt like I was part of something special, like a chapter in a history book. I was going to change politics in the United States had just closed, and like you were there for it. So that was kind of a big thing for me.
I like this question here. Shannon from Florida. How can we help support and challenge our children when they fail?
Your hair looks very nice.
Thank you.
Just notice that. What was the question? Sorry, distracting me.
How can we help support our and challenge our children when they fail?
Sorry, I'm kidding. I got
it. It's all right.
How can we help support our children when they fail? First, you've got to let them fail. So that's number one. Now, I got to tell you, I'm being a little bit of a hypocrite on this, and I got to acknowledge that. I have rescued my daughters on times I shouldn't have. I don't do it all the time. And you know this too. There are times like, no, let her figure it out. And because it's your kid, you just love them more than anything.
It's really, really hard, because when they hurt, you hurt. It's really difficult.
I know, but you and I, you know this has happened.
Yeah.
But we've gotten better about it recently, even about a recent situation. We're like,
it only took us 20 years.
Took us 20 years to figure it out, but I said, kiddo, you are on your own for that one. Mm-hmm. But you've got to let them fail. I think, and we did when they were younger. We did. I mean, we would. My daughter would go in these competitions and she would lose a swimming and she would come up and complain. I'd say, I don't want to hear it. Practice more. Like, I'm not going to sit here and whine with you. But you got to let them fail. Nobody wants to let the kids fail. Everybody, you know, these kids go out to learn how to ride a bike. They're in like a hermetically sealed suit and like a bubble. And you got to let the kid fall. I mean, don't let them crack their head open, but they got to get some scrapes and stuff, you know? So you got to let them fail first. Or else, what's to learn from?
Well, Jerry from Missouri wants to know, do you think you learn more in successes or failures?
No, failures, 100%. Honestly, that's why I wrote the book. That's kind of a good question in relationship to the book. Because here's a problem. I always think of this story I was told once about why amazing athletes make really terrible coaches. Who's the most amazing athlete? Like Michael Jordan, right? I mean, the greatest, maybe the greatest athlete of all time. Definitely the greatest basketball player. I mean, it's not even close. I mean, LeBron, man. LeBron, not even close. Like, I watched Jordan play. They're not even like, forget it. It's not even close. But why would a guy like that not necessarily be the best coach? And the answer is, even though he was a really hard worker, things came easier to him. I'm not saying he worked hard. Jordan had a sick work ethic. But he had just phenomenal genetics and basketball knowledge. He was different. So things came easier to him. And he combined it with hard work to become the greatest ever. I want the guy who was mid, who was a mid-level player, who made himself a really good player. Because he's developed every trick in the book to be at that level. Other people don't need the tricks. It comes naturally. So that's, you know, that athletes and stuff, that's who I want. Those people, you know, that has, in regards to the question, those people fail a lot. The mid, low-level guys, these super talented guys. Again, I'm not taking away from their work ethic at all. Jordan was a beast. I mean, just an animal. But he didn't have to learn a lot of these tricks because he probably didn't fail a lot. I guarantee you, he was a pretty good basketball player throughout his life. So, failures, definitely.
All right, one more question. Is there anything you wish you could change?
No. Yeah, I mean, listen, that's... Oh, these are good. These are like...
That was my question.
Really?
The last one. Yeah.
I definitely wouldn't change getting married.
Thank you.
It's the best decision I ever made.
Mine too.
Turn that camera. No, I'm kidding. This is rated G.
See, we got one more hour till official date night.
Yeah, we do. That's right. That's very good. Wait. Anything? No. Here's why. You look back and you say to yourself, that question, people ask that a lot. And you know the whole butterfly effect? A butterfly flaps his wings and there's that tsunami like around the world. You change one little thing in your life, nothing's the same. I mean, I could drive them crazy with all the stuff about time and stuff. I don't want to bore you to death, but everything that's ever going to happen has probably already happened. If you look at like time dilation, you can't change anything. If you are who you are because of stuff that happened. If you manipulate one little thing, oh yeah, I would have thrown a fastball instead of a curveball in high school and that guy wouldn't have hit the home run and then I would have been drafted number one or whatever, then your life would have been totally different. But so would have, then I wouldn't have met you and all this. So no.
Can you believe this guy didn't want to go out with me?
Look at her. I did. She's not kidding.
It was a blind date.
You want to talk about a failure? Blind. Well, back then, I mean, come on, there was no
really
like
blind dates.
Yeah, they were blind. Like there were no. I mean, we had cell phones, but there were no picture phones or nothing. They weren't even a thing. We had StarTax, remember? So they hook us up. A family member had known her friend, and they hook us up in this blind date. And you know, we're both out of long term relationships, and I was like, what kind of? It's crazy. Like, she's a computer programmer. I'm like. Single computer core, like not exactly like, you know, she would have said Sports Illustrated swimsuit model, unemployed. I'd be like, oh, I'm like, this isn't going to go well. So I didn't want to go out with her, but we decided, and she didn't want to go out with me either. She's like, she was kind of like, whatever, this guy sounds like kind of a weirdo or something. Like I was on the phone like, hey, it's Dan. Because I was always in a mood, you know. And I see her on the line. This is the funniest story. We go to Bar Sullivan's in New York, and there's an outdoor line. So I'm on the phone with her. I've never seen her before, ever. And I'm like, what are you wearing? Because we're only like 10 people on the line. And she's like, I have black pants and a red shirt. I never forget. I always get that right. Never screwed this story because I remember like it was yesterday. This is a long time ago, too. This is like a week before 9/11 happened. So this happened a while ago. And I'm looking, and I'm like, holy shit, this woman is hot. What the hell just happened? How is this woman a computer program? I'm like, there's no way. She's making this up. This is a fake resume. I'm getting catfished, even though that wasn't even a thing back then. That wasn't even a show. We should do a show together, right? Don't you think? Like a real show, like the Dan and Paul show. So I see her. She comes in the bar, and I'm with friends, and I had a Corvette at the time. I know, Italian guy, Corvette, I get all the jokes. They're all true. So it only had two seats. And I brought a friend in case this date wasn't going well, because I'm like, you got to rescue me. So I look at my friend.
I didn't know this. I would have turned myself right around.
And I said to my friend comes over, and he's like, oh my gosh, this woman's like gorgeous. I'm like, I know. I said, you got to go. And he's like, what do you mean? He goes, I got to get back to my house in Westbury. I said, here's $140. This should pay for like the cab. He hung out the whole night. Should pay for the cab. So that was it. We hung out the whole night. And I was like, I was in love. And she says she wanted to marry me.
I knew I would marry him.
I don't believe
first night.
It,
we talked. Cool. We talked till 3 a.m.
I know. We did. Would have been later, but you said no.
I did. I sent you right home.
I know. You did.
All right. So I guess this is one of the fan favorite segments where I ask you some questions and you answer.
Okay.
But what I did here is that I answered them too.
Man,
so we're going to compare.
Well, I already saw the last one because it bled through.
Oh,
that's
really?
Italy,
okay.
So I know. But I'll pretend I didn't see that. Then I'll look really
pretend.
Smart.
Okay.
Why don't you show me all of them so I'll know?
No. It's not going to work. All right. So some are easy. This is actually all easy. What was your first job? I better get this right.
Oh, my first job? Newspaper?
No.
Key Food. Well, yeah, I guess you're right. Key Food. The newspaper, I wasn't really, it was kind of like paid by tips, so, but Key Food, yeah.
Okay. I already failed, huh?
I may have had a job off the books, but I think the statute of limitations
kind of wore out. Yeah, no, that doesn't count. That was your first official job.
Do you guys, any lawyers, is statute of limitations gone on that, like the paper route or something? I think I'm good, right?
It's
like,
you owe back taxes.
It was 40 years ago. Yeah, they say
interest.
I'm okay. Yeah, right. I owe about $7 in taxes. I made $20 in that
job. What chore do you hate doing the most?
What chore I hate doing the most? I swear to you, I'm not even kidding. I was like, why would she ask that? She knows I hate all of them. Like, that's like a setup question.
That a trick question?
Yes, I don't like doing anything at all.
All right, it's a serious one. What is your biggest fear?
My biggest fear? Spiders. I hate spiders. They freak
me out.
No,
seriously.
No, spiders. Like, I'm not scared of anything else.
No?
Okay. No, why? What'd you say?
Okay.
I'm not scared of it. I'm not like Superman. I don't know. I'm not really scared.
All right. Who makes you laugh the most?
Who makes me laugh the most? These are hard. Who makes me laugh the most?
It's me.
The Paulita. I don't know if she throws that in.
It's me. We're not very good at this.
No.
Didn't they used to have a show like this? We would fail. Would have been out.
You do make me laugh. Laugh the most? Yeah.
Okay, what is the one thing you need to have in your fridge at all times? You better get this right because this is
milk.
Like... All right.
Okay, there you go. Finally, rescued on camera. She milk, whole milk, though. None of this, like,
that's
skim
right.
milk.
Lactose,
skim
milk, too,
yeah.
Okay.
Skim milk's for wusses.
Right.
Don't drink skim milk.
What was your favorite school subject?
Science.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, I love science.
This may be more for me, but you better answer this right. Oh. Who is the most interesting person you met recently? We had dinner with him.
We did?
Yeah.
Trump?
No, we met him a long time ago. We met recently.
I don't. You know, I don't remember my schedule. Oh, Chaz! Yeah,
no,
that was awesome.
I love this.
I think it's two Z's though.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry,
yeah,
Chaz.
That's like Chaz. Chaz Palminteri.
Yes, yeah.
That was amazing.
One
yeah.
of my favorite movies.
A Bronx Tale, Usual Suspects, and man, what a great time that was.
That was an amazing time.
He told us all. the stories behind like A Bronx Tale and The Usual Suspects. Right. That was a great dinner, wasn't it?
I love that movie.
By the way,
his
restaurant in Manhattan, Chaz Palminteri's, is really good. Check that place out.
Okay. What is your biggest pet peeve?
My biggest pet peeve? Am I like 1 for 7 or something like that? I'm not really doing it. The milk thing was easy.
Yeah.
My biggest pet peeve?
I mean, you give me a hard time about this like all the time.
I do?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Being, oh my gosh, I hate it.
I know him better.
What?
You see, I was right. He doesn't even know himself.
Folks, it's like, the clock is the clock. Like, I don't understand. It's like, I have to build in like a buffer zone. If we have to be somewhere by 7, I'll tell her 6:30. But now she's figured the buffer zone out and knows it's a scam and is late for that. I'm like, I don't know. What the? I don't understand this with the clock. It's like, dude, there's a guy outside waiting. Oh, it drives me crazy.
It really does.
Oh, I hate it.
Man.
The only time I was almost late for a flight, remember that? They're like calling us out. I'm that guy who's at the airport 7 hours early. That's me. I'm the guy for an 8 o'clock at night flight who's there at 4 in the morning. That's just me, not her. 8 o'clock at night flight, she's there at 8:01 and she knows she'll get on the plane. The only time I've ever, remember we were in Palm Beach Airport and we were putting their stuff through it and I hear, Bongino? And I'm like, what the hell? She goes, oh shit, I read the ticket wrong. And we got on that plane.
We were in security.
Oh, I was so mad.
All right, what is your favorite hobby?
My favorite hobby? Lifting weights.
Okay. I had working out, but I changed it. I changed it to Friday night.
Well, that's the same thing. That story's not, that's not
ooh,
in the book.
Yeah. Okay.
But we can come back tomorrow.
Okay. What is your guilty pleasure?
It's the same. Sometimes Saturday, too. Okay. We'll see. We'll see how this weekend goes. We'll see how the Morgan Wallen concert goes.
All right. Do you have any hidden talents?
We'll have to come back for another. Maybe, you know, I was just telling these lovely folks here at Premiere, I was never writing another book. Maybe we'll write the non-G rated version of the book. I have some.
All right. What color is your toothbrush?
Black.
All right. He got that right. Yes. There we go. Two.
Because I just bought you.
This one, of course, you're going to get right. What is your pet's name?
Lucy.
Lucy, of course.
Gosh, we screw up that.
What is your favorite? Oh, I'm gonna change this to words. What are your favorite words?
My favorite words?
Yeah. We got a theme. Okay.
Folks, she's not kidding. Listen, I love my job. Don't get me wrong. It's the greatest thing ever. I look forward to it. But, you know, you're in a studio all day. 4 hours. Remember, no one does 4 hours. I do 4 live. I do a podcast and a 3-hour radio show. So Friday night, by Thursday, I'm like ready to go. Like dropping. It's like tequila time and let's do it. Let's get the hell out of the studio.
All right, what is the last song you streamed?
The last song I streamed?
Yeah. Or downloaded.
Lies, Lies, Lies. There you go. Did you? That's a banger, by the way. Did you? Yeah, that song is a total banger. Morgan Wallen, this is a new one.
What is the last gift you gave?
Last gift I gave?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I forgot about this. The kids. Yeah.
Yeah, he bought the kids sneakers.
Yeah, they love those. The both of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's a cause that's dear to your heart?
Cause dear to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, that's like a big thing with me. I'm always like, I always say, don't waste time. Like life is, no, I mean it. Like don't always, you should be smarter every day. And here's the golden rule about that. I know she knows me better than I know myself. Always be the dumbest person in the room. You're like, that's dumb. No, it's the greatest advice I can give you. If you're in a room and you're the smartest person, you will leave dumber. It's just the law of averages. If you go in a room where you are the dumbest person, there's 3 doctors, 4 dentists, and 2 engineers, you will leave smarter and you'll be better. If you're the smartest person, you'll leave dumber. It's just a fact. It is the law of averages. Take that advice and I promise you'll be a success in life. It's not your parents. It's not your, it's your network. And if you're the dumbest person in the room, you will leave smarter and you have a great network. Just words of advice for you.
All right, two more. Where do you want to go that you've never been to?
Italy. Oh, not like I got one right. But I told you I cheated on that. But still, she's right. It was Italy because I saw that.
I know. Thing. I switched it. Maybe I would confuse you, but I guess.
No, no. Well, I do want to go to Italy. I'm Italian. I've never been to Italy. How embarrassing. I've been all over the world. Never been to Italy.
We'll make it there, sweetie.
Yeah.
All right. What is your greatest achievement?
Greatest achievement. I don't know because my life's not over. So I will withhold an answer.
I'm just going to say your kids.
Yeah. Well, of course, my kids. I mean, I've dedicated the whole book. Like, here's the dedication. The dedication to this book. Because someone asked me, like, I hate dedications to books. But I said, for this one, I said, I dedicate this book to my wife and children. They've never failed me. Yeah, I meant that. Was that the last question?
I'm sure. That is, yeah.
Man, that was fun.
I failed you a couple of times.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
No. No, you haven't.
Okay.
No, I'm serious. You better not fail me tonight. It's Friday.
Oh,
all right, folks.
Not.
It's
all
Friday.
All right, tune in. Monday morning update.
This will be some morning. This may be a Monday morning update for the era here. But go pick out the book, The Gift of Failure. I had a lot of fun writing it. I promise you're going to love it. Read the reviews on any of those book websites. People really seem to enjoy it. Put a lot of work into it. A lot of great stories in here. Really appreciate your time. Hope you enjoyed our back and forth. You can see why I talk about her on the radio a lot because that's genuine, man. You can't buy that stuff. That's the one thing like money can't purchase, a good relationship like that. Take care.
All right, guys. Take care.
Hey, this is John Acuff, New York Times best-selling author of 7 books and someone who's done a live signing. If you like the one you just watched, make sure you check out our YouTube channel. It's full of amazing authors having great conversations and signing books for viewers just like you. So make sure you subscribe, and thanks for watching today.